welcome back to What in the World, the podcast about all sorts of things esoteric, mostly aliens or alien-related stuff. This is Ayam and Atara. We have with us, once again, Lisa Frith, Dave Burke, and we will be talking about... What are we talking about today, Dave?
So, I'm so happy you asked. And this will be released in the future, so this will be in the past, but it's in the future, and, you know, wrap your brain around that. But, so, just Happy New Year to everybody. And so, the things that we do, because we're humans and we mark time linearly, for the most part, is we talk about when the new year begins, our expectations for the new year. So I have a very general, but I also have a very specific point to the general question. And the general part is what's going on in 2020. The specific one that I think would be interesting to start with is what is happening in 2020 in reference to disclosure.
Interesting. Okay, so 2020 is definitely a transitional year. I'm in the middle of writing my newsletter right now, and so there's all of this numerology going on in it. But basically what we're looking at is we can go high or we can go low, because we've got a master number going on. So it's definitely energy of paradigm shift. I mean, we've been getting closer and like stronger and stronger with paradigm shift, you know, over the years, and 2020 definitely feels like it's got a very strong shift energy to it. I don't think we're done, you know, and, you know, dropping it down to its lowest common denominator, it becomes 4, which is the number of hard work. So don't expect this year to be all like wine and roses.
Or Guns N' Roses.
It might be closer to Guns N' Roses, honestly. I expect this year to be somewhat traumatic for a lot of people. I don't think we've hit that point of evolution yet. You know, human beings have to get really uncomfortable in order to want to change. And I don't think we're uncomfortable enough yet. Some of us are, but not enough, you know? We're looking at sort of possibly a healing crisis where things have to get worse before they're going to get better. And that doesn't really matter like where you sit on the political spectrum. I don't think anybody's particularly happy right now with what's going on, except for like, you know, maybe that 0.01% up at the top. And they're not my target audience. So, so that's sort of a general answer. And then specifically as to disclosure, shit's getting really weird at the secret keeping level of stuff, you know? I think we're going to see more information coming out, but it's still not going to be at a level that people are going to consider credible. It's not going to be coming from a high level government place. It's still going to be leaks and Joe Schmo talking about stuff and you know, I don't think it's going to be hitting the mainstream just yet. It's more likely, as far as disclosure goes, that we start to see a little bit more of the behind the scenes black ops stuff coming out than stuff about like contact.
The hidden budget numbers and all that.
Well, not even just the hidden budget numbers, but I mean, we're starting to see like, you know, the seals are falling apart. You know, thanks to certain governmental offices overriding how they want to run themselves. You know, the SEAL members do not talk to the press, and they're talking to the press. You know, and so we're starting to see some of that information coming out. And we're going to see more of that. You know, we've had some of that information coming out, some of the like, you know, what the military does behind the scenes kind of information coming out since Bush, since Abu Ghraib. But I think we're going to see more of the like, oh, let's pull the curtain back and see what, you know, the wizard is actually doing. Because as we become more and more and more of an information society, you can't keep stuff buried anymore. And it's much easier and more credible to talk about this stuff, you know, the government stuff, than it is to talk about contact. And I don't think the government's ever going to talk about, or at least not the government as it currently exists, is ever going to talk about their contact. You know, they'll push it over to the scientists or whatever. But they're not going to talk about it at contact at high levels. Because it's not in this paradigm. You know, we're already having a hard enough time processing information about that does impact the general public in a very real way, like large-scale child abuse and stuff like that. You know, we're only starting to allow that into our consciousness. And, yeah, so. So I don't think there's going to be any, like, really big newsworthy, like general newsworthy disclosures this year as far as contact goes. I keep seeing like a very interesting can't deny it sort of contact happening this year. Like a large ship showing up somewhere. And because it's so far out of a lot of people's paradigm, it will immediately get shuffled off to the side.
Would this be on the level of whatever appeared over Los Angeles during the Battle of Los Angeles?
I don't know how to answer that.
Are you familiar with the Battle of Los Angeles?
No.
So, in the 30s or 40s?
40s.
There was a large ship that appeared over Los Angeles.
Okay.
To the point where air raid sirens went off and ordnance was fired at it.
Nice.
From military bases.
Okay.
Lots of witnesses.
Yeah, a lot of witnesses. Spotlights hitting the side
so,
of the thing.
So, yeah, I would say on that scale, okay. It looks like possibly Denver.
Okay.
Interesting. There's
something away from the coast high.
There's a lot of drone activity that's unexplained going on in Denver right now. They're calling it drone activity, but... on the eastern slope in Colorado, and it's in mainstream news and everything, like what's up with what's going on in the sky, and so interesting.
Okay, yeah, no, it looks, it could be Denver, it could be Salt Lake, I don't know. I'm it's high elevation, cold, not near a coast, but west of the Mississippi. So that's kind of what I'm seeing.
So in or near the Rockies is... a likely thing, you think?
Yeah. Okay. And whatever place it is, I'm seeing skyscrapers, so it's got tall buildings.
Okay.
But I'm also seeing, like, snowy mountains, so.
Do you have an image of what the ship looks like?
Fucking huge.
yeah. And who's on it?
Have you ever seen one of the stealth planes?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It looks kind of like it's made out of that, where it's super matte and black. I'm going with round-ish.
Like disc-shaped or different round?
Death Star-shaped.
No, definitely more disc than Death Star.
I'm trying not to feed you.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a picture almost immediately, so I'm just trying to...
Because I have it in my brain about, like, the different shapes of what
sure.
has been reported.
No, I mean, it's definitely more, like, kind of an upside-down platter or a very shallow bowl kind of a thing,
okay.
But not, like, if you put a piece of paper over the top of the bowl and then turned it upside down.
Any idea who would be the ones showing themselves in that kind of a craft?
looking. Interestingly, it's somebody who's here already, and they're just sick of us, like, not getting our shit together, which is also not surprising. Sirius B. Because there's two groups that come from there, and it's one of those two. The older ones. Interesting. It literally is a, we are trying to shock you into shifting, sort of an exhibition. You know what it looks like is a black version of the, when you're like driving over like the super high mountains and you get those really cool, what I always call UFO clouds going over the tops of the mountains.
Mm-hmm. The lenticular.
It's that shape, but black.
Okay.
And way more solid than the cloud would be, obviously. Yeah, that's what I got.
And is it actually coming from Sirius B, or is it something that's coming from
it's
the
been,
local?
It's been here.
Yeah.
They've been here. And they're just... We are floundering so hard from an outside point of view. The human race is just, like, ridiculous right now. They are attempting a slap across the face to break us out of hysterics.
Kind and loving slap across the face, or
if they didn't want us to like actually get better, they wouldn't even bother.
Yeah.
This is literally a like, hey, so you know, having large scale buildings explode or school shootings hasn't seemed to like unify y'all. Maybe this will unify y'all.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain level of impatience that comes with it, but I can't really blame them. I'm
no.
a bit impatient with us right now. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wondering what effect the horribly named Space Force is going to have on this.
So the horribly managed Space Force.
So...
Oh, God, I can't think of a polite word to use for him. So
the White House got a hold of fragments of information, not even like full information, but like fragments of information, and decided that's where this Space Force thing comes from, is he got just enough information on, you know, on the contact that there has been and that kind of stuff to go, oh, well, we need a Space Force.
So we can capitalize on it, probably.
Capitalize on it, but also, like, he's very fear-based. Our current White House is very, very fear-based. When you end up, when anybody has, like, is very ego-driven at that level, the ego is the place that fear comes from, the illusion of fear. And so he's very fear-based. And so part of it is someone's got to do something. You know, and he doesn't realize that, you know, we already have an Air Force, thanks. much to the annoyance of the Air Force. But I don't think that the Space Force is going to be set up enough to do anything about this. You know, this way exceeds the timeline that, you know, is possible. So it's going to fall to the Air Force again. And I'm actually seeing, you know, in 2020 and 2021 and up to 2024, I'm seeing a lot of weird stuff going on with the military where shit's falling apart. It's no longer a cohesive whole. And so this may very well be one of the part of the impetus for that, where the Air Force just kind of goes, yeah, fuck this. You know, I mean, we don't really lose our military until we lose the Marines. And I mean, that got started with the whole Mattis thing. But, wow, this is a political podcast. I'm so sorry, folks. but yeah, between now and 2024, I'm seeing a lot of kerfluffle. I don't have a good word for it. Kerfluffle at the level of the military. And so when it comes to things like contact and trying to create a unified front about something, nah, we're not there. Which suggests to me that our government isn't there about unified front on anything until then anyway, so.
Well, there's not much unified going on right now, which exactly. Is just a heartbreaker.
And I think that that's going to continue, so. Possibly get worse, because again, healing crisis, things have to get worse before they get better. Which, if anybody's asking, is yes, I think he's getting reelected. I don't think we have a choice if we're actually going to move forward. So, not that I'm voting for him. That's not what I'm saying. Anyway, what else you got? Should we try to make some of this non-political in case people have actually managed to get through to this point?
I have a question that will totally shift it from politics.
Sweet.
So, in our first podcast, we talked a little bit about the Pleiadians. We just brought up the Syrians a little. Do you want to talk?
One of the like four groups. Well, yes. Five groups from Syria.
Do you want to talk about the different groups? And I know some are specialized healers and scientists and blah blah blah. I mean, just the high bird's eye view.
So much information. That's like eight podcasts.
Yeah.
So y'all are benefiting from the fact that Lisa sat through like a lot of live action version of this podcast in the form of a class called What in the World? So not all of the groups that came here were seeking to colonize. Some of them were seeking to help and didn't want to do any like living here permanently or crossbreeding or anything like that, but those are in the minority. We've had a number of different races show up and intermingle their DNA with ours. I don't know, that's such a big question.
You can just edit like, all of that out and we can revert back to something else. Well,
I know that there is the claim out there that at least one of the, I'll just say tribe for now, one of the tribes of the Syrians is responsible for the hybrids that some people talk about, the ones that look almost human, like the eyes might be a touch overly large or usually blonde, blue-eyed.
Yeah.
The features are like the feathers
yeah,
are
no,
long.
That's a Sirius A group. But yeah, and they've shown up in weird places. But yeah, that's sort of the seed stock of the stuff we see in Northern Europe. Like Scandinavia, especially,
right?
Yeah, and they were at Atlantis for sure, absolutely for sure. They were at Atlantis. They weren't the only group at Atlantis. But they were one of the groups of Atlantis, and so when Atlantis went belly up and the groups scattered, those are the ones that went to Scandinavia. So, but we also see. I'm just going to leave it there. But yeah, absolutely. But that's one of the Sirius A groups.
Okay. So, back episode one, there was brief mention of height.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Ask your question.
Well, okay, so my question is, and it got me thinking parallels right away with the Anunnaki and the Nephilim
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. Does it relate back to that sort of thing, or was that our own, or a different, even though it may not have been our own race of quote-unquote giants?
That's so many levels of information right there. Okay, so the majority of our DNA stock, okay, has different heights for different chromosome breakdowns, which correlate to different vibrational levels and our relation to the illusion of separation. So you look at, what are we right now? 44 plus 2 chromosomes, I think that's right. And that sort of caps our height with some outliers, but caps our average height around, like, between, 5.5 and 6 feet. And we're in an energy right now of very disconnected from the whole sort of energy. You drop down one level and people were shorter, but they actually had sort of a shared transpersonal memory where they could all access some of the same information based on experience. The next level up goes to about 8 feet. And that was the level of some of the Egyptian hybrids, and it goes all the way, the next jump up is like 30 feet, and then the next jump up is 60 feet, and you look at some of the statuary at Luxor and stuff like that, you've got those giant statues, those were life size, that was the gods. They were literally doing life size representations of the gods. Just sort of as an aside, the whole chromosomal thing is fascinating to me because the marker for Down syndrome is 45 plus 2 chromosomes, mm-hmm. which means they're an evolutionary half step between where we are right now and having the heart chakra as a main operating force. And what we find, if you've ever dealt with anybody with Down syndrome, is that they're all heart. They're all heart chakra. There's no ego going on there at all. And it's just all heart. And so, they're actually further along in their evolution than we are, which I just think is neat. What was the original question?
Giants.
Giants, right. Okay. So we had giants, but they weren't ours. There were giants on the planet. They weren't ours, but they started interbreeding with us. They would have been what get talked about in the Abrahamic mythos as angels. And they, a group of them shared too much information with us and got smacked down, which is the basis for the Noah myth, which actually goes back to Enki, but whatever.
which does relate to the Nephilim story, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, it's just this little blip in the current Abrahamic texts that we have in the Torah, where it's just like, oh yeah, giants and people of old and the heroes of old, da-da-da-da, let's talk about something else.
The Jedi mind tricked the
people. Right. It's like there's just this little blip because they couldn't take it out entirely because it was the lead into a story.
Right.
But you look at some of the older scrolls where you get from the Nag Hammadi and the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff like that, and there's a lot more detail. You look at the Midrash, which is the folklore of Judaism. There's a lot more information. It's just like the stuff about Enoch is super short. Mm-hmm. With lots of sacred numbers in it. And it's like, okay, so you're saying he ascended with his body? Okay, cool, right, okay.
A fiery wheel.
it's fascinating what is still there within the sacred texts, and yet, they're like, oh, we're really not going to talk about that much. We've just sort of briefly...
Does not serve our purpose.
So yeah, we had giants. I don't believe that there are. As they started interbreeding, we had quasi-giants like Gilgamesh. And anytime you hear, in the mythos, what they're talking about, demigods, that's a hybrid. you know, because it's a hybrid. Even in the story, it's a hybrid, you know. But yeah, so like Gilgamesh was a quasi-giant.
Sorry, writing stuff down. Because that's a whole nother podcast that just that just tripped into my brain. So, trying to think of other stuff. Actually, so while we're kind of on the thread of giants, a lot of people make very, very common mention when we're talking about the Sphinx about how misshapen it is, how the head is completely out of
proportion
with the body. Some people put it on Khufu. Is it Khufu?
Mm-hmm.
Whose image is supposed to be on there? I think. But the head of Khufu, and we'll just call it Khufu and stick a pin in that it may not be that one. Or that pharaoh. There's speculation about it was actually a full-blown lion or a full-blown some other creature. And it's facing a very specific direction for a very specific reason. So,
sure, well, I mean, all of the Egyptian stuff, like all of the like ancient builds in Egypt were all like super astrologically based. And part of it was there was sort of this interesting like you bow to Mecca kind of a thing going on where it's like you face home. Everything faces home or directs you to home because we have to remember where we came from. And we have to remember why we're here because there's something about being in this lowered vibration here on this planet that like really sort of starts to drift even like high level beings into the illusion of separation. And so everything they did was about like, remember where you came from, remember what we're doing. Which is the main reason for a lot of that. I don't think it was an original full blown lion, but the face was different. It's been whittled down, but it wasn't a lion.
And what do you think the reason was for the change in the appearance?
Vibration dropped. Pharaoh ego wanted his face on it. You know, the not surprising human explanation for that. You know, we'd gotten far enough away from the ancient ones that Pharaoh was way more human than ancient.
And not a lion. Interesting.
Yeah.
So originally the features... Sorry, I'm getting a picture now.
Go.
originally the features on the face of the lion... like, it was still fairly lion up to about, like, just the face. So, like, the mane was there and stuff. But the features are a lot more sort of elongated, humanish, humanoid. But what I think of as elongated and elegant, I don't know, like elven almost.
I've always had a feeling, but what do I know, that maybe it wasn't the typical masculine lion, but more like a female lion, like a Sekhmet homage or something, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, you know, Sekhmet was, you know, an ancient part of the that pantheon. She predates most of that.
Yeah.
She was an early ancient one. You know, and honestly, most of the really powerful magic user deities in the Egyptian pantheon were femme.
Yeah.
So, All right, we're totally at the end of the podcast. We're just going to leave that there, let you chew on that for a little while. Thanks very much for joining us. This is Ayat Minotara, Lisa Frith, Dave Burke, signing off. We'll see you next time.